All right, so I have a scenario for you to ponder. Let's say you've still got it, and you're given the opportunity to play for the Huskers. I know, is that every Nebraskan's dream or what? You still have all the moves, you have the body, you have the skills. The coach says that since you are so amazing, you can have any position you want. Who do you choose? Quarterback? Center? Water boy? The person who picks up the uniforms and stuff in the locker room after the game? Pretty much a no-brainer, right? Now, suppose I told you that in addition to the 30 hours of practice and game time a week, that the locker room person, in case that was your first choice, has an additional 15 or so hours to put in. And they have to be at the stadium 2 hours earlier than anyone else and stay 2 hours later than anyone else. And nobody notices you at all. You get no glory, just guts. Now, the quarterback, on the other hand, gets to be the hero. They get to speak to the press, to attend parties given by adoring rich alumni. Now, we know, of course, they do not give you gifts because that would be illegal, but you're a hero for the whole state, to be celebrated and loved by adoring Nebraskans everywhere. Have I changed your mind? Anyone want to trade their first choice? That locker room position is probably still available if you want it. I figured not. So let me ask you another question. Suppose you were to wind up in the same scene as the Samaritan does in today's story, and suppose you could be any character in the story you want. Who would it be? Let's see a show of hands. Who wants to be the priest? The Levite? How about the Samaritan? How about the beaten man? Don't forget, he's a character too. Anyone want to be the beaten man? Okay, we have a few beaten men or women. You sure nobody wants to be the Levite or the priest? No. It still ends and goes through the same way. Very few of us, no, and he doesn't get rich either. Very few of us would voluntarily choose to identify with the priest or the Levite or the helpless wounded man laying on the side of the road. Even though we may readily admit that we failed to behave as the Samaritan in any consistent way in our lives, he's still the figure in this story that we feel we should emulate in our own lives, right? I don't think we can say the same for the behavior of the priest or the Levite. So what did the priest and the Levite see? They had to have seen that beaten, half-dead man laying there. I mean, after all, they deliberately crossed to the other side of the street to avoid him. So what did the priest and the Levite see when they looked in that ditch? Was it a man they saw there? Was it a man who desperately needed their help? Was it a man who had been beaten so badly that he'd soon be dead unless he had some intervention? What was it they saw there? Apparently not a person. I mean, if that's what they saw there, then obviously they would have stopped and immediately come to his aid, right? So what did the priest and the Levite see there in the ditch? An inconvenience? Something that would stop them from reaching their destination in time? Did they see something that would make them late for work or for dinner or to pick up some groceries? Maybe that's what they saw, just an inconvenience. Maybe they saw a situation that would take too much of their precious time. Or maybe they saw a whole lot of trouble. Maybe they saw a situation that would take a long time to resolve. I mean, the police would show up and there'd be police reports and witness statements, and that could go on and on. And what if there was ultimately a trial that you had to go attend as a witness? And time. Maybe if they tried to help him and moved him, they could make things worse, right? What if he had a spinal injury and they rolled him over? Think of the lawsuits. Think of the bad publicity from that, right? Well, what if he bled all over the upholstery of their SUV? What if he had AIDS or hepatitis B or some other nasty bloodborne disease? You do not want to go there. Maybe they just saw a whole lot of trouble. Then again, maybe they saw something else yet. Maybe they saw someone who didn't deserve their help. Maybe he was one of those homeless people. Or, you know, those crazy people that wander around, hanging around garbage cans, talking to themselves. Maybe they saw a druggie or some other lowlife who probably crossed the wrong person one too many times and finally got what he deserved. Maybe that's it. Hardly worth the trouble and the expense and inconvenience of trying to help. Besides, why should they? What would this man do with another chance? Probably just go back to his bad behavior, not having learned anything at all. What do you suppose the priest and the Levite saw there in the ditch that made them cross the street rather than stop to help? As for the Samaritan, the foreigner, what did he see that was different from the other two? What did the Samaritan see that made him stop and help? What did the Samaritan see that made him go out of his way and at great expense to himself to help this half-dead man? What made the Samaritan take the risk of putting it all on the line to help this wounded stranger? So who do you identify with in this parable? Who are you most like, the priest or the Levite or the Samaritan? Now, if you're like me, of course you identify with the Samaritan, right? Oh, sure, I'd be the first one to admit that. I usually fall pretty far short of being the good Samaritan, but I try hard, you know. I really try hard sometimes. I mean, hey, we have good jobs. We have extra money to put in the collection plate for the one great hour of sharing and the other special offerings we do, and all the canned goods and the school supplies. We do all of that stuff for people. We try to make a difference. We're there to help a neighbor in need. We're right there after the funeral to help with chores or to cook a meal. We step right in to help with the yard work if the guy next door is in trouble. We volunteer at school. We serve as elders in our church. We're pretty good people, you and I. I like to think that anyway. We help out where and how we can. Maybe we're not the best Samaritans in the world, but at times, we're pretty good Samaritans, aren't we? When we look in that ditch, what do we see? A neighbor in need? Someone who desperately needs our help, our time, our resources, some of our cash, some of our precious personal time? When we look in that ditch, we see a person who needs us, a person totally worth our time and attention and money. When we look in that ditch, we don't see something we resent, do we? We don't see an inconvenience, trouble, an unworthy person, do we? Not us good Samaritans. We never see the cost of loving our neighbors. We never turn away from someone in need because we're too busy or tired or afraid, do we? Truth of the matter is that being a good neighbor, as Jesus defines it, being a truly good neighbor, loving our neighbor as ourselves, costs. It costs a lot, an awful lot. Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves means that we have to be ready when something needs to be done, not just when we feel like doing it. Loving our neighbor as we love ourselves is the hardest job in the world. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church in the city of Corinth. He died for all, so that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. It's easy for us to identify with the Good Samaritan, isn't it? We want that glory position. It's so easy to look in the mirror and see ourselves in that role. Not the best Samaritans that ever lived, but not too bad as far as Samaritans go either. It's easy to want to be the pitcher, to talk the talk. But Paul has a way of keeping us honest. Paul has a way of reminding us that talking the talk is one thing, but walking the walk is an entirely different ballgame. Paul reminds us that while it's nice to think of ourselves as being the kind of people that are in the position of being the Good Samaritan, truth be known, more often than not, we're the ones lying in the ditch when it's all said and done. Because it was in that ditch where Christ found each one of us at one time or another. And it was in that ditch where Jesus found us, half dead from sin and unable to crawl out on our own. It was in that ditch where each one of us has laid many times in our lives, and Jesus has walked by and seen us, and really seen us as who we are through what we may look like on the outside, not as we think we are and not as we want to be, not as we hope to God that we could be if we could just try hard enough and finally get it all together for once in our lives. So many times in our lives, Jesus has passed us lying in that ditch and seen us for who we really are. No illusions, no mistakes, no rose-colored glasses. He's seen us lying there naked and exposed for what we are. And not once has Christ crossed to the other side of the street or looked the other way or calculated the cost or the risk or the trouble and decided that we weren't worth the time or the effort. Not once has Jesus looked at us and felt we weren't worth the risk. Even though he knows we will be back. Maybe not today, but we will be back. And he'll be waiting to lift us up, to nurse our wounds, and get us back on our feet again. And we will always be worth the risk. Always. Maybe not because we deserve it, but because of who we are and because of who our Father is. Because no one is more worth all of the time and all of the love and all of the grace and all of the precious blood of Christ than that person lying there in the ditch half dead. No one but a precious child of God is worth that. That kind of cost, that kind of second chance. We've all been loved by someone who's loved the Lord our God with all of their heart and all of their strength and all of their soul. We have all been loved by someone who has truly loved us as God loves us. We have all, every single last one of us, been rescued from death and brought back to new life by the Good Samaritan. Without him ever looking at us and calculating if we were worth the risk or the cost or the effort. Without him ever pausing for even one second to wonder if we were worth his time or his trouble. We've all encountered that Good Samaritan as we lay there naked and beaten half to death. And we've all been given every second chance that we need over and over and over again. And to us, the Good Samaritan asks just one thing in return. Go and do likewise. Amen.